Sunday, May 17th. I had an early breakfast, kissed a sleepy Lucy goodbye, feeling that our lovely vacation had at least accomplished something toward returning her to normal, peaceful relation with life, and getting her ready to undertake her finals. And at 9 o'clock, left Huntland's, arriving at the White House about 10:15. Lindbird and I went to St. Mark's to church, stopping first by the Valentis for a cup of coffee. And what a day at church! There was confirmation class, as varied a group as St. Mark's own congregation. Out of 18, about 3 young Negroes. One lady who was all of 80 years old, Bishop Creighton, was there to perform the laying on of hands. And when he arose to deliver his sermon, a lady got up in front of him and began to interpret his address in sign language for the benefit of the deaf. That is one of the many services that St. Mark's renders. It certainly reaches out to all people, from the blind, the deaf, and the halt, as well as the young and the old and black and white, are there an enthusiastic number. After the sermon, 4 young girls in white blouses, full blue denim skirts and a red ribbon in their hair, and ballet slippers, entered in front of the altar, and I thought, now what is this going to be? Probably some special sort of a hymn. Until they were followed by 4 young men in blue trousers, white blouses, red ties, and ballet slippers, and they performed as an offertory a dance to Randall Thompson's Alleluia, the first time I ever saw dancing in church. It was really beautifully, gracefully done in a real spirit of worship, but I haven't quite stretched myself that far yet. All in all, the whole service was about an hour and a half, and Lyndon and I got back to the White House, where the Secretary and Virginia Rusk, the Bob McNamaras, and the MacGeorge Bundys were waiting for us for lunch. And so, indeed, were we to keep on waiting for lunch, because it was one of those bad housekeeping times when the household had expected us to take a usual hour swim. We didn't have the swim. We had much more important and deadly serious business to talk about, in the course of which one of the men put in a call which started our closest airplane carrier steaming closer inland to Vietnam. I wonder if there is any technique for living peacefully with as many clouds of destruction hanging overhead as there are today. Probably not, if you're sitting behind the desk that Lyndon is. Finally had lunch at 2 o'clock, and Lyndon went out for a short round of golf while I did some work on my machine. Then we stopped by the Bob Thompsons for a cocktail party, taking Mary Margaret and Jack with us. There I met one of the young women who had been a volunteer in answering the mail Mrs. Kennedy had received after the president's assassination. Lively, attractive, newspaper man's wife. She said you could read just so much of it, day and day, time after time, until you finally got saturated with grief and you just had to walk off and leave it. She had an excellent tan, and I asked her where she got it. She said, actually, she got it out in the backyard, hanging up the wash. But she had decided she would use a different response in case anybody else asked her. An Englishman that she knew had said, oh, you must have been to the islands. You have such a wonderful tan. So she's going to say, not specifying any particular island, of course, oh, you know, we have a little place in the islands. Home early for dinner with the Valentis, and that restless feeling that we may not soon see the end of the acceleration of troubles that seem to be getting underway in the luncheon talk.